First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. We apparently are having some issues tonight with Blog Talk and or Skype, and Mr. Ed Springsteen was nice enough to bring us on the old-fashioned way by telephone, so technology is great when it works, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, listening to the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network, and we will try to stick to our regular format, just be a quicker version. It'll be like our show on meth or something here, folks. Today is Tuesday, August the 12th. 2014, and I'm in such a habit of looking down at my phone, I realize I'm on my phone. So, again, we apologize about that. If you look at this week in history, I think a very important event to start with is this week in 1971, we had President Richard Milhouse Nixon shutting down the foreign gold window, and that's where the hyperinflation began. And as we've talked about on this show many, many times, we're coming up on next week will be 22 years since the military siege of Ruby Ridge began. And we've talked about that many a times on the airwaves, about Randy Weaver and when they shot his wife and child up there in Ruby Ridge, Idaho. So that's kind of this week in history. So today was the filing deadline for people who are going to run as an independent or third party or even school board candidate here in Jefferson County. So it'll be interesting to see what comes in there when we get to see the results. I try to go over to Bobby Coleslaw's webpage, the county clerk's office, and naturally it's not updated, of course, so we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll go back to some other news that we wanted to cover. Now, we don't cover celebrity deaths on this show. Sorry, that's just not our thing. Maybe we could cover the police versus black rioters in St. Louis neighborhood. That's something that we could talk about. But the main and most important issue that I want to bring to you in this limited version of the show tonight was how the riots out there in Ferguson, Missouri, aforementioned St. Louis suburb, about northwest of St. Louis, is a perfect example of how quickly that the streets of America can descend into chaos. You get rioting, looting, burning down stores, shooting police officers, and we wonder if that's going to become a new normal in America. Some media cover it. Some people like YouTube won't even let you see the videos. But there's so much anger and frustration in this country, especially among the young people, that it just takes this trigger event, no pun intended, to spark a wildfire. In this case, we had a shooting, allegedly, of an unarmed black teenager by a police officer. And the police officer's story says that the 18-year-old Michael Brown got into a physical altercation with an officer and was subsequently shot. Well, word spread quickly throughout the community, and protests were rapidly organized. Before you know it, we hear that old huckster himself, the shyster Reverend Al Sharpton, will be riding into town pretty soon on a black horse. And when the word spread through the community, protesters didn't stay peaceful. They started chanting, "Kill the police," and throwing rocks and bottles. Store windows were smashed, the looting began, and the people went absolutely apeshit. And I really have never understood this one. You have a problem with the police, so you attack the businesses in your own neighborhood. I've never, ever understood that one. It's right up there with when people riot and loot after winning or losing a sporting event. It makes absolutely no damn sense to me. But that's what they did. The businesses got looted. I think it was interesting that one of my friends sent me an article today that there were a couple of businesses that did not get looted in Ferguson, Missouri. Want to know what those were? Well, the St. Louis Ink Tattoo Studio was not robbed, and neither was County Guns. You see, these two North County businesses share a storefront in a fluorescent strip mall less than 10 minutes from the epicenter of the riots that we've been seeing for three nights now. And after hearing of the roving bands of looters, Mike Gutierrez knew he had to protect his tattoo shop. So he brought a posse with him, including his neighboring businessman, Adam Weinstein, owner of County Guns. They were worried about the criminals getting their hands on his merchandise. So basically, they didn't want them coming in and running around with a bunch of free guns. Didn't even have to go through the government background check if you steal them, folks. That's what we try to explain to you. Background checks don't help when people steal guns. So here you had the tattoo shop and the gun shop was armed with the owners of the businesses with assault rifles, pistols, and tactical vests. So guess what? Businesses did not get robbed. You got it. So once again, if you listen to this show much at all, you know that we do not advocate violence. We are all about peaceful civil disobedience. And it is true. We've come to the airwaves and we've told you stories about black crime and black rioting. We're not politically correct. And we also told you stories about police brutality. So to me, the important thing here is we know that whatever comes out in the government-controlled media about the government-controlled police officers is not always going to be kosher with what the people want to hear. But that does not mean you go and burn down businesses in your neighborhood, private businesses. Now you understand why they come up with the term food desert in certain neighborhoods where people won't build a grocery store because they don't want to be looted. So tonight we'll be able to listen to the audio feeds again. If you go to the internets out there and pull up some of these police scanners, this will be about the either third or fourth night in a row of rioting and looting, we assume. I mean, you know your government has failed when your grandma starts to riot, okay, folks? That should tell you something right there. So we want to start out with that story because, again, we think it's a perfect example of how America can descend into chaos quickly. And that's why we open the show by saying, is this going to be the new normal? Ferguson is a little town just outside of St. Louis with a population of about 21,000 people. You would not think that you would have the possibility of such massive looting and rioting, put those together, sorry about that, using the telephone instead of our microphone tonight, but that's precisely what happened. Millions of Americans, the ones who were allowed to see it, were mesmerized by the images coming out of the small town of Ferguson, right outside of St. Louis, Missouri. The following is the way one news source, KMOV, described it. Byron Shellman with the St. Louis County Police Department said close to 300 police officers from at least 15 police departments were called to Ferguson when the mob started smashing windows, looting businesses, and burning them to the ground. And throughout the evening, going all the way back to Saturday night into Sunday, numerous cop cars sustained damage. And they even said the Ferguson Police Chief Tom Jackson reported someone in a yellow pickup truck firing shots directly at officers while circling a Walmart parking lot. This is the way to get yourself killed really quickly. We call it suicide by cop. So no, we are not being hypocritical. We believe in keeping the peace. We don't believe that you should attack the police officers. There's never a reason to do that. We believe you should be peaceful, civilly, disobedience. That's what we believe in. So we'll see what happens when you get things up to police helicopters being shot at by the people in this neighborhood. Now, moving forward, we got the back-to-school edition coming up, folks. The government indoctrination camps called public schools are getting ready to start back up, and that's why it's very important who files to run for office in the public school district. And like I said, we're going to find out soon who filed in our local district. But pretty soon we're going to hear all the explicit teacher stories, and we're going to see the uprise and all the school bus crashes and all the teachers molesting children and abusing children, harassing children. And this is what happens when you send your kids to the government to have them educated. Now, I will say this. The school lunch thing is a big, big point of contention. And we know that some districts, like over in Lexington, have decided to go all the way one way with it, which is to say that everybody is going to be eligible for free lunches. If you know anything about liberty, there is no such thing as a free lunch. And on the flip side, got to give thumbs up to our friends up at Fort Thomas, because lunch up at the Fort Thomas Independent Schools, maybe it's going to have larger portions, maybe it's going to have fewer vegetables and more French fries, because what won't be on the menu are the federal dollars. The Campbell County, Kentucky District is opting out of the federal school lunch program. And I think that that right there, if we can get over to the switchboard, is enough for our studio audience to jump in there. I couldn't find my applause button. Sorry about that, folks. It's that kind of night tonight. I believe that Springsteen might join us. Ed, are you out there?
Yeah, Dale, I'm here, man. Good to hear you on air. Let me apologize to the listening audience, if I can, for the delay in the start of the show. Blog Talk Radio sent a message out real late that said that they had a major outage today across all their primary and secondary servers. So everybody basically was in the same boat we were at the start of the show. We were trying to get everything in. We're still having problems with people being allowed to Skype in, which unfortunately forced you to call in on your cell phone.
Yeah, it's pretty bad if you use this old crappy cell phone to call in. But, hey, Ed and I haven't done a show together recently, so Ed, how you been?
Man, you know what? I've been doing pretty good. Actually, you're talking about this food program, and I thought it was a real interesting topic. And I tell you why, because, you know, if you remember when we were kids, you're not too far away from me in age, but probably a little more than I wished. But you know, I tell you, you know, when I was in school, you had two lunch lines. One was a main lunch line where you could get whatever the special of the day was, and the other one didn't serve anything but hamburgers and French fries. Period. You know, and that was it. So, I mean, I ate a lot of burgers and fries in school, and to my knowledge, when I got out of school weighing 136 pounds, the burgers and fries didn't kill me, nor did it make me fat. You know, so it's interesting because these federal dollars continue going around, and right here in Louisville, we're actually following closely the start of our school year here in Jefferson County, because here we have certain schools that are allowed free lunches for the entire school. Last year, Last year, the funding allowed 37 schools to get free lunch in 37 schools. So every student in 37 schools was entitled to free lunch. This year, that number of schools has been dropped to 29 because the funding is a problem. But, you know, it's interesting. You say that there is no such thing as a free lunch, and I have to agree with that. You know, I don't understand how the school system can sit here and charge one person for lunch, not charge another one. You know, these are the same kids in every school. They don't know the difference, but their parents sure do. Who are they to judge?
I think it's funny. I know Jefferson County is getting started back into their government indoctrination camps tomorrow, but I'm just comparing what my friends over in Fayette County told me versus what's going on up in Campbell County. We're just talking about, you know, several miles between them up I-75 there. And on one hand, they sent out a note from my friends who have kids in the Fayette County School District saying thanks to a new federal program, Fayette County will have free breakfasts and lunches for every student. And then on the flip side, the aforementioned story in Fort Thomas, which says they've kicked out the federal Nazis. They've kicked out the school lunch program, and basically they're going to absorb the cost rather than take the $250,000 a year that the federal funding used to cover. So I didn't know. I think they're doing it the right way because they were saying up in Campbell County that last year, roughly 47% of the school meal programs said their revenues had declined, and when kids don't buy school lunches, you know what happens? They lose money when they don't have school. They lose money. I mean, this is truly, truly an assembly line for them. It's just like the Pink Floyd video. It's just turning them through and turning them out. That's why they're always worried about attrition in the schools, Ed.
Well, it's fascinating because it's very true. I mean, schools have become nothing more than an assembly line for money. I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
Yep.
And when you look at the lunch program and everything else that's going on, you know, realistically, I mean, JCPS has never seen a dollar that they didn't like or didn't want to get their hands on. They continue that mentality and always have. The reality is right here in Kentucky alone, if you look at the cost of education or the money that we poured into public school system, and I don't have the exact numbers right in front of me, and I apologize. I wasn't planning on being on air with you tonight. I have to say this, though. The last number that I got or the last statistics that I checked out from the mid-90s till now, we are spending 63% more on education in public schools. Mm-hmm. And yet when you look at the reality, attendance in public schools has declined. You know, so where is this extra 63% going? If attendance is declining and you know, we have to take federal money for some reason or another and force our kids to eat a piece of Papa John's pizza and a little half pint of milk for lunch, and that's supposed to be a nutritious lunch, and then start screaming and yelling. I fail to see what the problem is here and providing meals for our kids and putting together a full lunchroom cafeteria like we used to do in the past. If they've got that much funding,
it's
less
right, when they lose the kids, they lose one of the kids don't go to school, or the kids don't buy lunch, or they have to have a snow day, God forbid, they lose money. And I think that ties right into when you have these programs that they just were pushing through in the state legislature this past term about forcing them to stay in school and raising the dropout age. They want you to think, oh, they're so concerned about keeping the kids in school because they want the kids educated. But the fact is that they didn't force this by law to keep your kids into the state-run schools. They would lose tons and tons of money. So they don't really care about the kids being in school. They're more concerned about the kids learning. They would do something I've said many times on these airwaves, get back to some more vocational stuff. Instead of telling everybody about third or fourth grade that they got to go to college and they got to get the bankster's loans to pay for the college and put them down that path that the Common Core is pushing. And that's why I said, Ed, it's very important who we get to run in the school board elections. I've talked about that for months, and today was D-Day for people to file, and we have four different people who are incumbents, one step down. So we applaud her for stepping down, but three other incumbents are running for re-election yet again. And as of a couple of hours before the show started, when we were trying to find some new numbers from Bobby Coleslaw's office, which haven't been updated, of course, we see that we still have one of those going to go unopposed. And if people don't get out and run for school board, nothing's going to change. They just keep reelecting the same people. You got to at least get them on the ballot. I didn't know if on your show, Zed, if you all talked about the school board much.
We haven't spent a lot of time on the school board. And I will say this, though, just a couple real quick. You know, if we're going to talk about a school board, if we only get rid of one person on a school board out of three, it would be great if that person was Carol Ann Haddad. Mm-hmm. You know, she needs to go on and sing to the sunset. She's one of the biggest problems.
She's about the worst on there. I think I would put Diane Porter right after her. And thankfully, Carol Haddad did draw at least one challenger as of yesterday evening. But Diane Porter had not drawn any. And between the two of them, they've been on there for ages and icons of years.
Well,
and again, the other two districts are up as well. Four districts out of seven up this year, Ed.
Oh, yeah. And that's the fascinating thing. Anyway, you talk about money in schools. I think you mentioned two things here that are very relevant. You mentioned, you know, truancy. Well, didn't we pass truancy laws and everything else where parents go to jail now if their kids cut class and all of this stuff, and they're still complaining mm-hmm. that truancy is a problem? So maybe we need to quit using that as an excuse because of failed educators. And the second thing is, you know, you mentioned something about snow days. For every snow day we have, they're not getting paid that day, but we also make those snow days up. So even though they might not, if we have a week off in February due to snow days, that week is money they don't generate, but they generate that week at the end of May or 1st of June when they come back for one more week. So that is a zero-sum game. That's not costing any money either. And it's interesting that they continue using those arguments. So I just wanted to point that out because I thought that I
don't want you to think that they're looking out for your kids, but if you got to find something for your kids to do after school, or they're on their own because they want you out of the school, they just want to push them on into the colleges. And we've seen they can't be a combo for their own money. Look what we saw at the end of this past school year. This is like a soap opera, what's going to go on in the public school districts. Remember, we had just there at PRP High School where they've gone through their second corrupt principal in a row that has left there. We had $10,000 in missing soda money, and that was no big deal, according to their principal there, that it was okay that the profit for 20,000 cans of soda just disappeared. So I guess they're in training for higher political office, Ed.
You know, that would appear to be the case, and it's sad, but it appeared to be that way. I hope that the people really pay attention in the school board elections. I hope that three officers that do have competition, as far as we know. Like I said, Bobby Coleslaw has never been very quick about updating any information.
No, and I'm looking at your pages now. It says anybody filed today, you know, in this age where we can get instant news, her page says anybody who filed for office today will not be updated until the end of the day tomorrow.
Well, yeah, and you know what? And we know that that's a blatant lie, because when you get into any other elections in this daggone county, all of those elections are updated that same day. I mean, you know, that's the thing. If you have a 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock filing deadline like we have for the school board, those same deadlines apply to any other office that you try to run for in Jefferson County. And those people are automatically up on the website within 2 hours. But all of a sudden, the school board is different? No, that's smoke and mirrors, man. That's nothing new. That's typical of the way that has been run for a long time now. But, you know, it is fascinating when we think about 63% more money being paid into education. We have less children in school, yet we're spending all this money on Common Core that even the teachers in most cases don't like. What is the deal here? Why is it so hard for these guys to get their head out of their butt for the public indoctrination camps? We know they're lying about the money. So what is so hard about that?
Well, we saw it. Clearly, when we got their raise, we saw, and again, we can thank social networks for shining the light. Light was the real disinfectant here. We saw as soon as some of the big wigs in the teachers' union was able to stiff arm another raise, we saw them out at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse celebrating with drinks. You know?
Right.
So that happened immediately after they got their big raise, and nobody crushes a school hospitality account like the former PRP principal. I'm looking at some of the meals that that guy spent, apparently on private meals, $76 for a meal at Mike Lennings, $32 at a barbecue restaurant, $33 at a Oxmoor Mall Chinese restaurant. I mean, this is really really just grinding it out, and he's barely surviving on this money of our tax dollars, Ed.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And then you throw in the fact that apparently there was a private business running operations out of PRP High School. David Johnson was aware of it. You know, the thousands and thousands of dollars he put on expense accounts. And once they took him out of PRP and put him in an administrative job to investigate, All of a sudden, he found God and had to retire. So, you know, he retired. There won't be any criminal charges coming. I'm sure of that. He retired to get out of it, so JCPS didn't clean up the mess. They just covered the mess up again. You know, and it's really interesting when you look at that.
Systems are archaic, Ed, because I was reading some stuff that our buddy over the education voodoo website had put out back at the end of last school year, and that's what it says, like the cliffhanger from the last year's soap opera. We're getting ready to start and see how the cliffhangers ended at the beginning of the fall season here at the new soap opera at the College of Jefferson County Public Schools. And they sent home flyers with a lot of these kids back in May saying they would no longer be able to charge anything. And this is so asinine. We were talking about being behind on technology. They won't even let you charge stuff if you're a student now. No one will be allowed to charge lunches or breakfast, but no child will be denied food. But the meal they will receive will be an entree and milk for lunch or toast and milk for breakfast. But either prepay until school is out or be sure your child has money, because we will not accept charge cards.
Yeah. That, you know, that's just another thing. And, I mean, you know, and no child will go without food. But they're going to give you a piece of bread with something on it, but it can't be peanut butter because of unknown peanut allergies.
And you can't
bring your lunch. You can't bring your lunch for home if you don't have money, if you have a peanut butter jelly sandwich, for the same reason. I mean, it's just gotten ridiculous. And Michelle Obama and Barack Obama, it's going to have to go to the White House on this. It really does. This has gotten so much worse. Michelle Obama's out there trying to put all this healthy stuff, and every picture you see her with, she's got her face stuffed with a Big Mac, but she's telling you how to feed your children, you know. So, it's all a mess.
She's not exactly a small lady if you've ever had to accidentally see her backside when she's in those pictures, so.
Oh, yeah. It's fascinating.
Well, she's not exactly fitting trans. She doesn't look like she's going to get ready to do an infomercial for the Thighmaster or anything. Oh, so she's, none of that good. It's these people, they're above us. They use executive authority. They want to hand down legal status to you. They want to tell you what's going on, whether it comes to the immigration system or the school system. They want to be cowards and tell you that they're the Caesar and you're supposed to just bow down to them.
Oh, I hear you. And it's a total nightmare. And, you know, we're talking about JCPS, too, and the lunch program and the school system and everything else. You know, when do we get smart here in Jefferson County and force the end of the JCPS school board, period? You know, all we need, I mean, most of the major communities, a lot of them do not have a school board. What they have is a school superintendent, which we do with Donna Hargens. They have a mayor. You know, and those two are the ones, you know, you hire the superintendent to run the schools, and then you hold the superintendent accountable. I mean, if the mayor is going to appoint everybody to everywhere in this city, including the Louisville Water Company, MSD, and everything else that affects every family throughout this community, then, you know, hiring a superintendent should be approved by the Metro Council, and we don't need a school board for anything. We don't need them for a budget. We don't need them for nothing.
So
why
do
we continue to do this?
Yeah, we have areas, like you said, that don't have a school board. I've kind of taken the other side of this issue a few times. I've talked about this because my concern is we look at our county and state governments and look at the way they've handled things like sewers and water companies and cable companies.
No.
Do we really want them controlling the school board?
I have always agreed with you on that counter-argument. The difference is, and this is the difference for me, we have a superintendent who makes the decisions anyway. The school board accepts or rejects them. The school board works with the superintendent on the budget and all the other stuff. But as far as the actual running of the schools and everything else, you know, the superintendent runs the schools based on what the school board says they have to. What I want to do is get rid of the school board, because all it is a popularity contest. Carol Ann Haddad hasn't had a kid in school in 50 years. I mean, I think she's 100 years old now, you know. I think the last kid she had in school was when they were forced to wear skirts and ties for the guys, you know. But the reality
My problem with that, Ed, is aren't all our elections, including some areas, don't do this, but here in Kentucky we elect judges. Aren't those also populated contests?
Yes, they are. I won't deny that. But I'm just saying, in this particular example, you know, this is one that we can take control of, take a lot of money out of the system, force the superintendent to do the damn job. You know, if you're the CEO of GM, you answer to stockholders. Our stockholders would be the Metro Council. You know, I guess the bottom line is I think that would give us more accountability, especially with our elected leaders in this Democratic mafia-run town that we called Louisville, Kentucky. I think that that would give us more accountability that way, all the way down to our elected officials, and maybe they would make a more concerted effort to fix the problems in our school instead of letting everything run the way it does. Right now, they've got such great plausible deniability, but they'll be the first ones out there, you know, ranting and raving for Carol Ann Haddad, who is worthless on the school board, in my opinion, just because she makes a campaign donation. You know, so I agree, and I think
the best part about it is we have public disclosure. I think the best thing out there now is we have the ability to go to your computer or your tablet or your smartphone or whatever, and if you want to go look it up, you know where to go. Look, you can find out about all these campaigns and who's funding whom. And I'm more inclined to letting people see that public disclosure of it than I am to limiting it. And I think the one thing I would agree with you about is if we did that, well, I know it would have to go through the legislature to change that. I don't know if it would have to be a constitutional amendment or not. I have to look at the Kentucky Constitution on that. But I think we'd probably or get that done. I think that's more likely to be done through the legislature a lot quicker than people actually becoming informed, enlightened on their own and voting out the school board, because we had the chance 2 years ago to vote out three members of the school board and vote in three new ones. And two of the three they voted in to replace the ones retiring weren't much better. So, you know,
well,
you have to wonder.
Well, they were part of the same establishment.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We have to wonder, is that going to change any 2 years later this year when there's four openings? And I say openings because you can kick out those three of the four who are running again. So we got three of the four running again. And you're in your best estimate, Ed, are they going to vote out either Haddad or Porter or the other districts incumbent, or are they just going to keep voting them back in?
No, Haddad and Porter are safe. There's no doubt in my mind about that. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And that's the problem. And that's the problem. You know, you get to the point sometimes.
And Linda Duncan in the 5th District as well. She's an incumbent as well.
Right. And these are neighborhood elections. They're not countywide kind of deal. I mean, the only people who are going to vote for these people are going to be from their own neighborhood. You know, I'm not going to vote for a Carol Ann Haddad or anything else. She's not from my neighborhood. You know, and that's where it really comes down to popularity contest. And, you know, a lot of people perceive that as power, and in their case, it really is. So, you know, I just think we need to start working towards eliminating JCPS, and it really wouldn't be that hard. I'm not sure what the Kentucky State Legislature says on that. I haven't done the research. I admit that freely. But at the very least, all it would require is enough signatures to force it to be on the ballot. That's it. So even if they try to legislate and play games with the Constitution and everything else, you know, you still have to, all you have to do is get enough signatures on a ballot. Or get enough signatures on a petition to force it to be on the ballot. It's sort of like recalling merger right here. We should recall merger, and I believe there's enough signatures out there to force them to put it on the ballot. You know, but it takes a hell of a lot of grassroots effort to do that, and sometimes that seems to be the problem. But JCPS is definitely out of control. Working in conjunction with the JCTA, the Jefferson County Teachers Association Union, it's no wonder that our kids can't get a quality education and they can't get a decent lunch. None at all. No wonder at all.
No, it's not, and like I said, it all comes back to public accountability and public disclosure. So like I said, I'm glad that we can do the research and we can tell some people about what's going on, but we know a lot of these elections, that's the only good thing I like about the school board elections is that they don't have political parties attached to them.
Right.
I take that a little bit further over in Fayette County. As we mentioned, Fayette County earlier, their government, you actually have nonpartisan city council races, and I think that would be the best way to go if we could ever get that done, and that obviously would have to go through a state legislature that's full of nothing but Democrats and Republicans. But I would have no problem if everybody that was on the ballot, whether you're voting in PRP or J-Town or Shively or Anchorage, I would have no problem if whoever's on the ballot, you would have to vote for them by name. We've talked about this before. There shouldn't be this straight party crap. You shouldn't have to be looking at, oh, I'm going to vote for them just because there's an R and a D in front of their name. If you have the Republican Party and Democratic Party, which, you know, especially in Jefferson County, the Republican Party has absolutely no power of any kind. They like to play tin horn dictator, but they have no power over anything. Democratic Party is a little different, but not much. But if they want to endorse candidates and they want to put out stuff saying they endorse candidates, just like the AFL-CIO or the Right to Life or the teachers or the Tea Party, if they want to endorse candidates, that's fine. But I think once you get into the ballot box, we shouldn't have Republican or Democrat in front of their name. I know that's a radical idea, but I think it would be much better than what we currently have. What do you think, Ed?
Well, personally, I mean, I have fought for many years to go to nonpartisan elections, especially on the local level. That would include Metro Council and everything as well. So I definitely agree with nonpartisan elections. However, in the case of at least the JCPS, the school board and everything else, you know, we know that even though it's, you know, you don't put a D or an R next to your name sometimes in an election, we do know that it is partisan politics at its finest. I mean, the Jefferson County Teachers Association is the only reason that Diane Porter and a Carol Ann Haddad continue to be there, because they're doing their best to lobby for them as these good liberal people. You know what I mean? It's a hand and fist thing. I think that when you take it to levels beyond that, like the Metro Council and stuff, you know, we know that there's still going to be some partisanship, but at least it's not going to be as blatant. And at least you're going to have to sit there and disclose it on your own. And when you do that, then you prove that you're not that you're a partisan, not a nonpartisan. And that can actually sway an election. So I do agree with the nonpartisan races.
Well, that's not just the Democrat Party with the teachers union. We have Republicans who have kind of sold their soul to them as well. And you are correct. You and I know which ones belong to the unions and which ones don't, because we're astute to what's going on politically. But I'm just thinking about if people had to do the research on the candidates. I've told you this many times. I'm not for a bigger voter turnout. I'm for a smaller voter turnout if the people don't know what they're doing, and they're going to go in there, oh, I like that name because that's an Anglo name, or that's an Italian name, or I saw that sign closest to the polling spot, or my next door neighbor had his big bumper sticker on his car, and we know, or he was the top candidate on the ballot, he was the one at the very top. We know people vote based on these things. It's not coincidental. It's very much a correlation and causation there. People vote for the name they know, the name that's at the top, the name they recognize. And if you're Jerome McConnell Jr. and you've been on the ballot 30 years, you probably should win a primary against a Matt Bevin who's never, ever been on a ballot, because people know your name.
Well, you got an excellent point there. You know, and speaking of ballots, I don't know if you saw today, there was actually a story out about the Justice Department, and Eric Holder lost his case for voter ID. I don't know if you found out about that or not.
I saw a little bit about that, yep.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, because when you start getting into voter laws and stuff, one of the things that a lot of people are advocating, I'm one of them, that we need some voter ID. I mean, we have to have voter ID. I'm getting sick of elections being decided by illegal elections. I mean, when you can walk in a door, and this was really fascinating, Project Veritas actually used somebody to walk in the door to a polling location, introduce themselves as Eric Holder, even though they weren't, and were allowed to vote. So we clearly know there's election fraud going on. But a federal court did smack down Eric Holder's Justice Department because it refused to block North Carolina's voter ID law. In North Carolina, their law requires voters to bring a valid ID to prove their citizenship. That's it. Eric Holder decided he was going to fight it, try to sit there and tell the whole world it was an injustice to black people and poor people and it's racist and blah, blah, blah. You know, all the typical liberal communist crap we've come to listen to, I believe. And a federal court actually disagreed with him. So I'm sure it'll be appealed. But I find it very, very, a very good thing, I guess, going forward, that the courts are at least finally opening up to the idea of voter ID, which I think is crucial to making sure we have honest elections, or at least as honest as we can get to. So I'm glad you mentioned voters, because
the people in the courts, if the guys and gals that wear the black muumuus start interpreting law based on the actual Constitution, then these big, big politicians are in big trouble, because if the courts actually start obeying the law and interpreting things by the law instead of making it up as activist legislators on the judiciary, if they actually go by what the law says already and what the Constitution and those founding documents say, then they're in big trouble, because what are they going to do all this time? I've always had a problem when we have a group of people will vote for something, and I've had this debate with the libertarians out on the internet, on the social networks. If you take for Kentucky, for example, where Kentucky passed a bill for whatever you want to call it, just the marriage situation where you had to have quote-unquote traditional marriage, one man, one woman. You remember they passed that constitutional amendment a few years ago, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, first of all, it goes without saying that government shouldn't be in the marriage business. There's nothing in the Bible about the marriage certificate for people who think that there's some biblical connection to the state being in the bed with you and your marriage. But that being said, the big problem here is you'll have a judge come along in California or Oregon, especially the cases I'm thinking of, or Michigan, New York. You'll have a judge come along, and they'll throw out such laws that happen in California. People
right.
may not believe this or find this hard to believe, but California voted for a one-man, one-woman marriage bill. But then you have one judge who comes along and throws it out. And, of course, the small L libertarian argument is, well, that's the populist, you know, the 50% plus one telling the other
right.
people what to do. Well, again, constitutional amendments are just that. You're actually having true democracy in that one instance. And California does that a lot more than we do. But when you have one judge come along and throw out what the people say, my point that it would take a long time to get back to here is that if judges start actually interpreting the law and going with the people's will, then these big power-hungry dictators are in trouble.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. And that is the thing. I, you know, it's interesting because it gives us a glimmer of hope that maybe these people in the black moo-moos, as you always call them, are finally going to do their job and uphold the Constitution. Because, I mean, Eric Holder's Department of Justice has tried to make all of these arguments about voter ID laws as being discriminatory because it affects minorities. Yeah, you know, but when you look at this realistically, and you start looking at all the angles to everything, I mean, let's face facts here. The President of the United States and Eric Holder themselves continue saying, this will arbitrarily hurt minorities, this will arbitrarily hurt minorities. How is anything going to hurt minorities, you know, when you're trying to give them the same fair shot as anybody else? What it does is it promotes fairness and equality. It doesn't promote any kind of discrimination against minorities, forcing them to go under the same things that they want from me. The second thing is, when you look at free elections around the world, and free is an argumentative thing here, I get that, but if you go to places like Mexico or other countries around the world, you know, they not only have voter ID laws, but they also have extremely high voter turnout. You know, so you've got to look at the big picture here, and I don't understand what the argument has been other than the fact that Eric Holder and Barack Obama continue to want to, you know, for lack of a better word, keep the black man down. This isn't a white problem. This is a black problem with the leadership. And I know that sounds racist to some people, and I apologize for that, but, you know, if you keep people dependent on you like these liberals do, then, you know, you're guaranteed whatever you want. So who's benefiting from this? Eric Holder.
Well, right, and I've often said I don't have a problem with politicians who do what the people want because that's what they're supposed to do. I have a problem when you have a politician who, like a Mitch McConnell or like a Harry Reid or even like an Obama, even though, thank goodness, that 22nd Amendment limits him to two terms unless he throws that out pretty soon in executive order. But I don't have a problem with those people doing what the people tell them to do. I have a problem when they try to go their own way and they don't listen to their voters. So if people are actually going to vote a certain way out of fear that they're going to be voted out of office, that's what we want. That's my biggest problem I have with term limits is if you term limit them, then why do they have to do a damn thing that you tell them to? They're going to immediately know that they're a quote-unquote lame duck and won't listen to anything you say regardless. So 1% of them who do listen to the populace. So if they are afraid to get kicked out of office, and that's what it takes to get them to vote the right way, I have no problem with that if that's what keeps them honest. But we know so many of them don't listen to the people. So we do have a glimmering hope of that thing turning around from the judicial back to the legislature. And I know we also have a glimmering hope that hopefully the Skype and Blog Talk will play well with each other for the rest of the shows the rest of the weekend. Do you have anything you want to promote before we get out of here tonight?
Actually, no. I just want to thank everybody. I tell you truthfully, we are continuing to grow. We're reaching numbers now I never thought possible. We've got over 50,000 that visit the website, over 30,000 that follow us right here on BTR. We've got over 12,000 full subscribers. You know, the only thing we don't have is funding. We've got the numbers with the number one game in Louisville, so I did add a PayPal donation button onto the website because we're going to upgrade equipment and upgrade a lot of other things in the very near future. It's going to take a lot of money that we simply don't have. So I would just ask the audience if they find it in their hearts and they like what we do, try to help support us and, you know, just give a donation through PayPal. You know, we do all this for you. We appreciate your time and, you know, thanks a lot, Dale, for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, and if people want to call in, obviously, Ed, I know that you played the ad at the beginning of the show where they can be a sponsor, and we obviously want people to patronize the sponsors as well, because we're giving them the unfiltered media. We let you see behind the curtain, and we're not sitting up on a big, tall box trying to pretend like we're taller than we are, and it's not the Wizard of Oz. We show you what's really going on when the mainstream press, the TV stations, to the tree newspapers won't tell you that. So we appreciate you hosting the show tonight, Ed, so we could get back on the air here. So I guess in a minute here we'll hit the music. But, folks, you're going to find out soon who did file in these elections one day or another, whatever day it is this week. Bobby Coleslaw is finally going to let us peek behind her curtain there, and then that's a scary thought, and see what's going on there with these filings. And other than that, waiting for that to happen, we ask you to keep listening to the shows the rest of the week, and you decide, are you going to play along with the bureaucracy and the aristocracy and the oligarchy that wants to beat you down, or are you going to stand up and say death to the New World Order? Everybody have a good night.